This morning, we have a guest joining us here in our studios to talk a little bit about something that's fun and memorable here for the community. Leonard Kinney is in with us this morning, a local veteran who wanted to talk a little bit this morning about a special presentation coming up here very soon for folks to enjoy in the local city park here in Atlantic. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here this morning and to represent 9/11. Never forget, and it's something very near and dear to my heart.
Hard to believe it's coming up on the 25th anniversary already.
Exactly. People that I talked to, you had to be about a fourth grader when that happened to remember it now, so time really goes fast.
We have a whole generation now who was not on the planet when that happened. And it's just it's a historical thing to them, not something they live through. And it's important that we continue to make sure folks understand the messages and the lessons.
And there were a lot of lessons taught on 9/11. Obviously, it changed our whole way of living here in this country. We now have all of the regulations through the airports and people coming in, vetting people, and it's really changed the whole way the United States operates.
Well, and I mentioned up front, there's something that's in the city park that folks will be able to see and enjoy for a long time, but something that'll be memorable as well. And talk a little bit about how local veterans made this happen.
Well, I'm part of the Honor Guard, Color Guard, here in Atlantic. We initiated a 9/11 remembrance program here a couple, 3 years ago. Was surprised that there wasn't anything locally going on recognizing 9/11. Didn't like the idea of reading a bunch of names, so we tried to make it about first responders. There were 343 first responders that went into the towers and never came out. There was almost 3,000 people killed, but that was an act of terrorism. To me, the heroes, they were all heroes in their own sense, but the first responders, I can't imagine walking into the gates of hell and knowing that your chances of coming out were very, very slim, if any.
Well, and veterans can certainly relate to that, too. It takes a lot of training and a lot of inner strength to walk into something.
It does, and in our community, we have a lot of first responders, and that's the people that I really want to recognize. Everything from the 911 dispatcher that starts out to the ambulance drivers, mm-hmm. fire departments, police and sheriff departments, they all interrelate, especially in a countywide program, and I really just think that our first responders kind of get a, yep, you did a good job, and that's about it.
Yeah, you bet. Talk a little bit about the bench that's, that is down in the city park.
Well, the bench, in retrospect, all I could think of doing something better would be getting Bubba Sorensen over here and a rock the size of the one in Oakland and having him paint a scene around it. Mm-hmm. It starts out with a timeline from the flight numbers and the times that they hit the towers, the number of people that were lost, and it takes you through that timeline. Like in an hour and 15 minutes, all of the planes had been crashed. And to think of how it changed history is just unbelievable, you know. A lot of people say, yeah, I remember that day so well, and most of us, I mean, 25 years ago, we were all working, and most of us caught it at work, and it's kind of like, well, the first notice was, well, I suppose some idiot flew a Piper Cub into the towers, and then it got really serious, and all of a sudden, the second tower was hit, and then the Pentagon was hit, and everything just stopped. If everybody remembers, there was no more airplanes in the sky. It was just everything stopped. And eventually, President Bush wound up over here at Offutt. A lot of guys locally can remember that big old plane circling and coming in, and it was there. It's just It's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those of us who, you know, lived through it in any way, you don't have to be in New York or in Washington, D.C. We all lived through it as Americans, and we all remember that feeling of emptiness and unknowing what's going to happen next. And I was the same way, too. When I first heard there was a plane crash at the towers, that was my first thought that ran through my head was, well, there are a bunch of small planes that fly around New York City. Somebody clipped it or something. You know, you just kind of took it for what you thought it was. And then all of a sudden we started turning on televisions and listening to radio, and we realized, oh, wow. And we were stuck staring at it for hours, wondering, you know, what was going on. And yeah, you touched on the feeling afterward. It was dead quiet. There's nothing, no contrails in the air, no nothing for several days. And it was a very eerie time. You just weren't sure what was going to happen next. Thank goodness we had those first responders to kind of steady things for us.
We did, and there was a lot of news coverage about how devastation-wide it was downtown. I mean, I've never been there, but I know for blocks and blocks, it just devastated everything. The windows were out of the buildings, and there was almost 3,000 people killed that day, and there's been over 4,000 people that have died because of it. Mm-hmm. Of the 343 first responders, there's like 404 mm-hmm. verified firefighters since then that have died of the effects of that day.
Right.
So it's been ongoing for 25 years.
You know, and it's kind of like anything else we've been through. We always were kind of related to Pearl Harbor, for example, because of the surprise that, you know, during that time, those people were alive at that time and experienced it, remember that forever. But after a while, you have to teach that. And it's the same with this now, too. We don't just need to remember. We need to teach the importance and why and what was going on. These younger generations need to know this going forward so we don't make the same mistakes.
Well, and I have, in my talks, have said this is our Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And through the military, there's a saying of, if you see something, say something. And it kind of became the mantra of everywhere. The events that happened, like at the marathon, stuff like that, with the bombings mm-hmm. and stuff. If you see something, say something. Even in our schools, if you see something that's weird, say something to somebody.
Absolutely. Tell me about your service.
Well, I've been a reservist for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I was in the Army Reserve. Started out down at Creston with a little unit, and it was reorganized, which is common in the Guard and Reserve program. Moved down to Des Moines and became part of the 103rd. And the 103rd was a COSCOM back then. Those six people that were killed over there, they were a member of the 103rd. I was a first sergeant in the 103rd a long time back, clear back in the 80s. So it was pretty close to home, and it's been reorganized again. I retired in 1994, and when the Berlin Wall came down, I was reorganized again and became a member of the unit's training in Korea. So I've been there a few times and done part of a few NATO exercises over there. A lot of people don't know it, but 38% of our military is in the Guard and Reserve. And so they are a huge part of not only the strength here in the United States, a strength worldwide.
Yeah, overall readiness really depends on people like that.
Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
Well, and obviously that was a big part of your life. It was a long time part of your life too. But even today, it's still important to you to be involved.
Well, the Honor Guard is really important. Trying to get people involved. I'm with the local Legion, and we do our Americanism. So we support all the programs. We try to be very active with the school. Andy Anderson up there, Mitchell, welcomes us with open arms. So we do the football and basketball games and baseball and softball games. Those start up here next week. And we try to present the colors at all of those events. And We did the wrestling tournament this year. We just try to be out there for the kids. It's pretty heartwarming to have a fifth grader come up and say thank you for your service. And it's even more heartwarming when the other team on the baseball or softball field comes up and say, thank you, nobody else does this in our area. So it used to be a lot more personal, but now the flag is up there, or it's a video or whatever, and we enjoy being out there and communicating with the community and with the kids, letting us know we're still there.
Well, in a way that the Honor Guard presents the colors at different events, you're kind of doing the same thing with this project here, because you're keeping something out there and visible for folks to focus on.
We are. We're going to present it to the city and the county. That was a learning experience. The county owns a portion of the city park, and where we wanted to put the bench is on the county portion. So I had talked with the Parks and Recs, and they said, yes, we'll gladly let you put the bench in. And as soon as they found out where, why, that shifted gears. So you have to have permission to do stuff like that. So we just went through the proper channels and got it done.
So tell folks where they can find that.
It's on the backside of Lady Liberty, facing the park. To me, it's the ideal spot. You can sit there and just see the whole park. And to be honest with you, the idea came from trying to do a program and not having anything to dedicate it to. Now we have something that we can say, this is our remembrance to something. And the timeline on the bench, it pretty well takes you from beginning to end and explains everything that goes along there. The idea came from going camping down in Lewis and driving by Wyrick's down there. There was a bench, and they had every kind of thing you could imagine out there. Stopped and talked with Logan, and he says, I'm on board. What do you want done? Mm-hmm. And so we kicked some ideas around, and it's been done since January. And we just figured that it was useless to sit in somebody's garage until 9/11. So we got together, made the arrangements, and it's sitting in the park and done. And people can enjoy it. I think it'll be a major attraction to go there and look at. We've talked with the park new park director and talked about maybe trying to get one of those QR codes there so that people can look it up on their phones and have more information. So it's I'm also a part of ARISE, and you know, preserving the past and to enrich the future, it all ties in together. And countywide, citywide, you know, it's all there.
Yeah, it's there now. It can be enjoyed now. But you are planning to have a dedication coming up later this year as part of September 11th.
Yes, on 9/11, we're planning on doing a dedication, and hopefully having some first responders there and. We always query about what they do and how it interreacts. And I mean, 9/11 is huge because it takes the whole community. And I know that the city and the county have interrelations with management programs and stuff like that, but it involves all the cities, Oneida, Cumberland, Griswold, every city here in the county, and they all have mutual aid agreements, so we know that they're all working together. And it's just recognizing and thanking the people that are first responders. It's a tough job.
Oh, absolutely. That's why a lot of us don't do it. Well, it takes special people to do that.
And we just had last weekend a very powerful incident here in Atlantic, again, that we had people out there, and they were there. when they were called upon, they were there and showed up. So that's the name of the game.
Take special people to respond to tough circumstances.
It does.
And we're fortunate that we have those folks around us 24/7. Very good. Well, Leonard, thank you so much for coming in here today and sharing a little bit with us about this project. And thank you for your service, and thank you for participating. The Honor Guard is something we may not say it, but we do appreciate it. It enhances everything that that you participate in. And I know every year I go out to the cemetery for the Memorial Day service, and I know you've been part of that for a long time, too. There are a lot of things that go on there, and you know, just being able to do that kind of outreach and have people remember why it is that we're so proud to be Americans.
Well, and we're going to change things a little bit this year with the Memorial Day program. I'm basically going to be the same, but we're working some new people in. None of us are getting younger, so we need to work with that next generation and make sure that somehow this is carried forward. And whether it's the military guys that do it, or the city that gets involved, or any groups, we welcome anybody that wants to participate as a group, as an individual. Come on out.
You bet. And we welcome everybody to stop out to the cemetery. Hopefully good weather, and we can do it outside where it should be and have an opportunity to remember that day.
Yes.
Very good. Leonard Kinney in with us this morning. Thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome.